now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
From Beijing to Bristol, California to New York.
This is Shout Out. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Andy.
Tonight, Ivan finds out what it's like to be gay in China.
Ella gives us part two of her LGBT plus history series.
Events, news, chat with a bit of music.
As always, lovely packed hour. Welcome to Shout Out. But it's nearly back.
What's that?
My voice.
Oh, yes.
Well, not Coral wouldn't agree with you.
No, but last week he was just like, you know, he was recording it and playing it on repeat because he said it said...
Oh, I'm blushing now. I don't know what to say. I'm completely worked up.
Well, Lucy sat here in...
my work outfit.
In your work outfit.
Which and is you were a bit... Chief chip server at McDonald's.
But you were nice. A bit put out when I said it really nice earlier. You were like, that's weird coming from you.
Well, it was really weird because you were like, ooh, nice.
I thought it was your PJ. I just thought it was a onesie.
Well, it is in more than one piece, but it is very comfortable.
Oh, it's a twosie.
It's very practical. You know.
So, now, anyway, in other news, there's Steffi, Tara's doing out shout. So what the hell are you doing in our studio?
out. It's not your studio. I covet the studio.
You never leave the blooming place, do you?
Well,
you're like Pat.
They shackled me.
No, seriously, you came to tell us about a story, didn't you?
We don't have enough intersex on the show, and you don't hear much about it, but a top model has come out as intersex.
Hane Gabi
Odiel,
all over the news, isn't it?
Absolutely superb, and a brave girl. She's 29 years old. She's come out as identifies as female. She was born with undescended testicles.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those that have never heard the term intersex, can you without being graphic, give us a
born with both sets of
genitalia?
Yes,
it's a bit more complicated than that.
Well, it can be, but that's the simple version.
But she's been very public about it on purpose to try and, you know, because it shouldn't be a big issue, but because it's normally a very private
thing. Is it one of those things that because you don't see it, it's not talked about?
It's that genitalia thing, isn't it?
Well, that's their own business. That's people's business, I suppose.
It must be confusing for the parents as well when you get a child born and the doctors actually
like,
didn't can't tell.
Oh, how are you
going to
raise the child?
And that's difficult because you can't be inside the child's brain.
So you don't know.
You have no idea which way the child's going
to
go.
Isn't the aim these days to just let the child grow up and make their own choices as
they go?
Have
you been in the toy section of Toys R Us?
Well, this is half the issue, isn't
Still
it?
Still plenty of pink and blue going around.
In an ideal world,
you met my nephew. He already loves trucks, and because
we met you. I mean, it's
I love trucks too.
You love trucks
I do. I love trucks.
There is no legal standing for intersex in the UK.
No.
They don't have any legal standing. So yeah, it's a binary system in the UK. You're either male or female. You don't if you fit him in a routine. So
but surprisingly, large amount of people are born intersex, aren't they? A lot more than I thought.
What kind of issues could arise from that, Tara?
Well, 1.7% of the population.
So that means, you know, if you couldn't choose, you've got to make choices. You know, when you've got those forms out in front of you, male or female. Well, actually, I don't represent either of them.
I know, and it kind of brings to light, like, how useful are those forms when you say things like that anyway, you know?
Well, I think it depends which form it is, isn't it? Because I know that people like, because we had the council on the show, the equalities and all that, and they were saying, you know, we're not asking because we're trying to box people, we're asking because we're trying to find out who we are trying to represent so that we can represent them better.
You know, and maybe
but they do put things like in that particular example I do believe they have boxes for things like instead and they have another so you can then put other and other, put what you choose, you know, but especially when they're trying to collect stats on things like LGB and T and the like, you know.
I mean, the thing with intersex is some people don't even realise they're intersex until actually they're trying to have children. And then they find out their XY chromosomes and all of a sudden so you can have people that have got testosterone, they don't, testosterone doesn't have any effect on their body, so they can have testosterone, but it won't produce the changes in the body that would normally occur.
So they can present and live as female and not think anything of it.
I think it's called AIS. which is androgen insensitivity syndrome.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So there's various different disguises.
Yeah. That's why it's not easy.
Sounds like one that we perhaps should do some research on and do as a bigger feature.
Absolutely, so. I think we should.
I have to say, what's her name again?
Her name is Hanne Gabby Odell, and I hope I have to say, she's Belgian.
Yeah, good on her. I have to say personally, I think it's brilliant that she's had the courage to do that.
Yep.
And I hope it helps other people that are intersex feel a little bit more comfortable. So
that's quite a large number of people when you think about across the planet, 1.7%.
Yes, huge, millions.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
So, that's more than trans.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Huh? It's about 1% at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah, 660,000 people.
Oh, you've got cis ignorance this side of the desk. I'm sorry. We're having
that's
to
all right.
parade
all
right. our complete
well,
lack of knowledge
they know,
again.
Because they still don't exactly know how many people are homosexual.
Well, exactly.
Well,
admit to it, but young people, 48% only recognise themselves as not non-binaries in gender sexuality.
Right, okay.
So, you know, it's like there is a new generation coming up there where they've actually got a real understanding themselves or more accepting of themselves.
What
and
I love
think
about
brilliant.
Youngsters these days is their confidence in that as well.
And long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for them.
Yep.
Anyway, shall we move on? Because it's Tara's turn now with some events. So here we go. So, Tara.
Hello.
Hello.
So,
what have you got for us this week?
Well, it's one that I attended last year, actually. So, it's IBT. So, IBT 17 is out in February.
IBT?
I have been. I've been to one of their events.
What is it?
In Between Time.
That's correct, yes.
And it's a 5-day event, and it's around all of Bristol, and it's various different issues. So, the one I'm particularly keen on is the nighttime one with Storm and all the rest of it. So
they hold that in the fire station. Yeah. They're holding it in the fire station
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely, the police station, ex-police station.
It's an arts festival,
it's
Andy, I suppose.
Brilliant.
Theatre festival. It's a theatre festival. It's got loads of performance pieces and stuff like that. And the Storm's like half performance art, half rave.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the rave last time.
Oh, right, awesome.
You know, maybe a bit old, but I'm still there.
No, why not?
So, but they've got lots of things on right the way around the town, to be honest. And some LGBT, some queer, and it's all that kind of mix and mash. And it's that kind of Bristol feel, to be honest. I think Bristol has got that kind of feel about it.
Yeah, do you remember them a couple of years ago, Andy? They did the Fog Bridge, you know, the footbridge over. That was an IBT piece.
Really
controversy
over it,
though, wasn't everybody got kind of
it cost rather a lot of money.
But that was the kind of thing that they do. So it's a bit of installation.
So, for example,
they've
got a 12-hour dance session. It's free.
Lord.
You can watch them.
I couldn't dance for 12 hours.
Well,
couldn't dance
it's
for
not
12
you.
Minutes.
It's all right. It's not the participant. It's not,
okay.
It's not the people going.
So there's two people dancing as ghosts in the Arnold Fini for 12 hours, and people can go and watch, and it's free and all the rest of it. So, it's pretty amazing, to be honest.
So are all the events free, or have they got like a range?
No, there's a range of prices.
Stuff. Right, okay.
So some of the things are free, and some of the things... So they've got a website, if we start there, and it's really the best place to go and have a good rake, which is inbetweentime.co.uk. So, and there's pages and pages of stuff, and all the different events. So if we had a look, so the club night is the Dawn, so it's different from last time.
Oh, right, yep, okay.
Yeah, so, and that is... And I'm just trying to find the time. I think it's 8 p.m. Sorry. Me and technology... It's on this. Oh, there we go. 11th of February, and they're £10.50 for a ticket at the station. So that's not bad, really. And you can book it online. So that's 5 hours.
Yeah, at the station.
That's pretty good value money.
Good place to go clubbing.
And there's usually drink and all that.
Not that I'm a massive authority, but
you're a big raver, really. Aren't you?
Not really, no. But I have been to raves when it was in previous guys. There's a different. No, there were different nightclubs there, and they had that kind of stuff.
So the other one was the Ghost Dance, which is the Lone Twins dancing from Germany at Arnold Fini on the 8th of February. Yeah. And that's free. So, you know, and that's family friendly as well, to be honest.
Awesome. The Arnold Fini is a nice little venue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lots of nice things.
Exactly. And then there's a feminist tea section. Yeah. Passionate speech.
Tell me more.
Passionate speech about the body. So they're having a real go about politics and are taking it as a feminist stance on it.
I will take my placard.
Yeah.
My pink one with a set of ovaries on it.
So that's the 8th and 9th of February at 9 p.m.
So she was going on about things being too pink and blue. I don't know.
This is true. Well, I'm referencing last weekend, obviously, with the Women's March against Trump's inauguration.
Oh, okay. Did you say part?
I didn't. I stayed in Bristol and I tweeted my support, and I spent a lot of time on Reddit redditing my support. Yeah, but a friend of mine did go to London and found herself in the middle of it.
Yeah, so that's £15. And what else have we got? We got the festival opening night, which is at Colston Hall in Bristol.
Okay, so they're branching out then.
Yeah,
so.
And that's on the 8th of February at 6:30 p.m. and it's free to go.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, it's really good to see things like that getting bigger and better year on year, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you very much, Tara.
Thank you, Tara.
Okay, thank you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Oh, I just realised that literally just finishes like that. That must have been one of them special dancey mixy ones. So.
It's one of Steph's rare cuts of something.
So that was Abracadabra. I was going to say Abracadabra. It's not as Abracadabra, which of course was a kind of tribute band.
I get
to them,
it now.
But it was,
I understand.
Yeah, it's called Lay All Your Love on Me, that one. So I like it.
No, it's good.
So. Now, question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Beijing?
No, I really would like to go though.
In fact, I've never been to China.
No, so. I bet Beijing's one of those great places that if you, over the last 20 years, if you'd visited like every 5 years, the difference would have just been amazing from visit to visit.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I know very little about as well is what equality is like over there. But Ivan was over there recently and managed to catch up with a chap and find out a bit more. Have a listen to this.
The lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community has made a lot of advances in the West over the last years and decades towards full equality. Measures such as decriminalisation, equal age of consent and marriage rights are just some of those now taken for granted by the community. But how does life in the West for, say, a gay man compare with life in the largest and most populous country in the world, China? Well, I'm here today in Beijing, the capital of China, talking to Martin, and I'm about to find out. Martin, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, guys. 大家好.
Martin, tell me a little about yourself. Yeah. Where were you brought up, and you know, what was your education like here?
I was born in Beijing, and I went to Canada about 3 years, high school time, and now I just like living kind of like between London and Beijing thing, yeah.
So you were educated partially in Canada then?
Yeah.
And whereabouts were you based there?
Vancouver.
And did you go to university after that?
I was supposed to, you know, go to New York, but something happened, so I have to just come back, yeah, and to China for university, and yeah.
So you ended up coming back to studying in Beijing?
Yeah.
And when did you first realise that you were gay?
I think 11 or 12 years old.
Oh, right. So you were pretty young then.
Yeah. I'm kind of like 26 years old now. So, yeah, it's kind of like young generation, actually. In mainland of China, like young generation, like quite open. It's not like old generation. They can just, you know, show their, like, who they are.
I was going to say, so how did your family react when you told them? I mean, did you tell them when you were that young, or was it a little bit later on?
Actually, something like 23 years old, because my ex-boyfriend, we had like three years like relationship, so I was decided to tell my mom. So actually my mom's all right, but my dad, he was a soldier, so it was quite hard for him. I'm the only child of family, so it might be like, you know, quite tough for them. But yeah, they're all right now. Yeah,
great. And everything kind of panned out okay 3 years later.
Nah.
Not really. I was going to say, because it's quite important, isn't it, to make people understand that there aren't huge expanded families in China because of the one-child policy that went on for quite some time. That's changed now. So you don't have, like, brothers and sisters. Many people, LGBT people, don't have brothers and sisters to sort of share their thoughts with, do they?
No, but we do have a cousin and, like, really good friends. So, yeah, we can share. Yeah.
So some people don't realise that homosexuality was decriminalised in China in 1997. And in 2001, it was removed from the official list of what they called mental illnesses in China. However, despite these sorts of changes, no civil rights law exists to address discrimination or harassment on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And you can't, if you're a same-sex couple in a household, you're not permitted to adopt children. And you don't have the same privileges as heterosexual married couples, do you? Do you find... Does that worry you that you can be discriminated against still just for being gay in China?
Sometimes, but it's all right, actually.
You don't feel it doesn't worry you too much as things stand at the moment?
No, not yet.
So where do you go out? Where do you and your friends go out and socialize? Is there a big gay scene in Beijing?
We used to have 4 gay clubs, but for now, something like actually have 2 gay clubs. And especially during weekend, we just hung out, you know, just like we went to nightclubs and like we kind of have an area in Beijing and people, you know, just go there.
Right. So there is like a gay area in Beijing.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But for a city the size of Beijing, I mean, there's the municipal area was something like 20 million people. 2 clubs doesn't sound like a lot, does it really?
Not really.
So how do people actually go about meeting? Does the online social networking aspect of life play a big part here in China?
We do have few apps, like sometimes like online dating thing. And we do have a Chinese app, something like, and they also will hold some events that you can join.
Well, what kind of events are they?
Like before, I remember there was an event, something like marathon, and then people will actually, they were talking about their problems, like for being gay, not like problem, just like issues, like how to they like face their family, how to come out, like those things.
Yeah. So when you say a marathon, you mean like a running marathon for charity, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that was the thing.
So how were people dressed for the marathon? I mean, were they wearing like T-shirts with slogans on, that kind of thing? Or, you know, dressed up in fancy dress?
Everything, actually. The rules is they must have worn like some T-shirt, like same T-shirt. But it's definitely like, you know, have someone just wearing dress or like just... Yeah, crazy things. Yeah, but it was funny, yeah.
So people who are LGBT aren't afraid to sort of come out and show their sexuality in public?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And what about the majority of young people? Because, of course, you're probably the first in a generation to have actually been brought up in China where homosexuality hasn't been illegal. Is that why there are so many young people coming out of the closet right now?
I think so, because I think in China... Like, if you be LGBT thing, and it's legal, but the government doesn't talk about it much. Like, because sometimes I think, I always sharing my thinking with my friends, like, we're all thinking, just because China is a developing country, and if something wrong with the developing during this time, that China will definitely stop it. But for now, like, China doesn't say anything about LGBT, so I think we will just face this. I think they will face LGBT. Yeah.
Because although it's not illegal to be gay, the media is strictly controlled here in China, isn't it? So you don't see anything on TV about LGBT people. I mean, only last year there's been a ban on representing any form of homosexuality on TV. But you kind of get around this with your own... You've, like, got your own TV channel on the internet. You have sort of some sort of representation online. Is that right?
Actually, it's not... like on the TV is something like an app that is something like people just sharing their thinking, and they got huge fans and they were watching him, and he was just talking or just like, you know, phone call to any LGBT groups, people, and just talking to them, like solving their problems, like those things. It's quite nice. Like, we can actually sharing things.
So it's kind of like an online chat show, stroke agony aunt, that kind of thing.
Just like the online radio thing.
So does it have a lot of people that watch this this show?
Actually, a lot. And if you feel great, you can just give them money. Like, because it's kind of like, because we called Red Pocket, like those things. Like, during, it's kind of like, you know, during Chinese New Year, like people, if we will give the red pocket thing and with money, so you, if you think, oh, that's really good, I can give you some money, like the thing, and actually you can see it, which means I totally support you. So that's nice. Yeah,
and the Chinese government kind of turns a blind eye towards this kind of online representation of the LGBT community. They don't interfere with anything that goes on online.
Not yet.
You're being left to your own devices for now.
Yeah.
Well, let me finish by asking you about the future. I mean, at the moment you can't get married here to a partner here in China. Looking at what's happened in the West with everything that's gone on there with regards to marriage, etc., do you think the government will eventually soften its stance towards civil partnerships or marriage to gay people in the future?
Possibly, I think. Just like for now, I have a few friends, like they have been, or a couple friends that have been together about 10 years, so they went to States to get married. I don't think China will, you know, face that, and just China will agree with that, but there's kind of like, it's meaningful for them. And
so at the moment, you, if you wanted to get married, you'd have to go to the US or somewhere else.
But actually I think sometimes I think if two people love each other, they don't have to get married, and but it depends. But I hope, like, I wish I can get married in the future, and I think China will allow us to get married in the future.
Well, Martin, I hope that's the case too. Thank you so much for spending time talking to me today.
Thank you for enjoying my Chinglish.
It's been great. Thanks.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, wow, that brings back some memories. Yes. I do remember about when I was 18, so 20 years ago. Yeah.
I'm expecting glitter to come out of the ceiling or something. It was always like the top of the night, wasn't it?
Well, every nightclub used to end with that. Because, of course, back then you had legal drinking, so it was 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So all the nightclubs stopped at 2, and they would always play that at the end till it did get to the point you were like, no, please, no, not again. And then the next one we had that with, obviously, was Tragedy by Steps.
What about
that did the same thing.
It's Rainy Men by the Weather Girls.
Yeah, that was before.
What about the Kylie one? Better the Devil You Know.
Better the Devil.
Come on.
Yes. Now, speaking of devils we know, let's get some news headlines. Yes.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 26th of January.
Cody Jarvis may be a name to conjure with in the future. He's down to the finalists in Mr. Gay New Zealand, and if he gets the title, he'll represent the country in the International Mr. Gay pageant later in 2017. Now, our feminist listeners may wonder why gay men have a beauty pageant like this when the women's movement has worked so hard to get rid of such structures for heterosexual women. Well, organisers say it's all a question of context and that the Mr. Gay pageant celebrates community and cohesion. For Cody Jarvey, the issue of international LGBT youth homelessness is his driving passion. Cody told the New Zealand Herald newspaper that he felt homelessness amongst gay and trans youth was growing and that he wanted to do something significant about it. Of course, if you want to view all the candidates for Mr. Gay New Zealand, toddle along to our website and follow the link or go via Pink News.
Up to 300 doctors and medical students are expected to join this Sunday's LGBTQ Pride March in the Indian city of Mumbai. According to Gay Star News, the network Future Doctors for Equality is marching to pledge their support for LGBT people and for the disabled. In spite of its long tradition of sexual and gender nonconformity, India currently possesses colonial era statutes that restrict the lives of gay and trans people. The campaign group Humaz Far Trust reports that some doctors are reluctant to see attitudes towards homosexuality and transgenderism radically change because they make a profit on trying to cure people of their core identities.
Graham Norton was awarded a Special Achievement Award at the NTAs, that's the National British Television Awards, last night, in recognition of his work in the media over the last 20 years. But when he spoke to Digital Spy, Mr. Norton wanted to reflect on his friendship with the late Carrie Fisher, whom he met on his Channel 4 talk show and kept in touch with until her death over the Christmas period. "I know she's gone," he said, "but she's so present on YouTube, in the movies and on DVD. She will live on forever."
Around 3 million women, plus male allies, LGBT people, people of colour and other minority groups joined forces on Saturday to protest against the government of Donald Trump, the new US president. CNN dedicated several hours to the protests as they unfolded across the country, and with solidarity marches in cities across the globe, including Bristol and London. The images showed uncountable thousands thronging the streets with rainbow flags and feminist placards in key position, and certainly the crowds dwarfed the desultory numbers that came to see Donald Trump's inauguration the previous day. The Guardian newspaper was buoyed up by the sheer size of the protest and said that the fight back for US politics was now underway.
A new event exploring gay and trans spirituality from the point of view of the wide range of pagan and heathen religions is to be held in Cincinnati over the Easter weekend. Ironically, that's a festival that has pagan roots despite its more recent Christian overlay. The weekend is called Queerent, and the website is up now at queerent.org, where you can register your interest and find out more. The organiser, Ordo Vovin, says that the event will look at more than just spiritual disciplines, but also how the pagan and LGBT communities can advocate for themselves and each other in a time of conservatism.
Gay comic actor Gordon Kaye has passed away at the age of 75 in a care home. In tribute, many radio stations broadcast the theme tune to Hello, Hello, a hugely successful 1980s situation comedy starring Gordon Kaye. He started his career in hospital radio and, in fact, interviewed the Beatles in 1965. His acting career took off during the late 1960s with a series of appearances in ITV's flagship soap Coronation Street. He appeared in All Creatures Great and Small, Are You Being Served?, the movie version of Porridge and Shoestring. In 1982, he secured the role that would make him a national treasure as hapless proprietor of a cafe in Nazi-occupied France. He was called René Artois. In 1990, he survived the great storm of January the 25th, which killed a number of people, when an advertising hoarding collapsed and caused him serious head injuries. Gordon Kaye had been open about his sexuality in his autobiography, René and Me, published in 1989. However, he was determined not to be a campaigner for gay rights. And in 1995, when Gay Times magazine readers voted him one of their icons for the magazine's 200th issue, he expressed surprise. Gordon Kaye, the icon, who has died at the age of 75.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I swear she's getting ready for big handbags and high heels.
What she's doing, she's trying out her set on this show. Yeah. She's going to see what the reaction's like, and then she knows what tracks to drop.
So, well, we do often swap
play handbags
because you know I find tracks and Steph will go, "Ooh, I'm going to play that next week," and then it'll suddenly be on her show, and then I hear ones on her show, and I'm like, "Oh, I'll nick that with shove that on Shout Out." So, but if you're not aware, firstly, Steph does a show called Handbags and High Heels Mondays, isn't it? Is it Mondays?
Mondays 10 till midnight.
10 till midday, I think it is.
Sorry.
10 a.m. till midday. But Steph is also going to be doing the after party at the Shout Out Listeners Awards. So we're live from the Old Market Assembly here in Bristol. And when we're done, which will be about 2 hours late, we start at 7, the awards should finish around 9-ish somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're partying, courtesy of Steph.
And do you take requests? Well, unfortunately, I won't be there. I've got work has sent me away. But everybody else, that's from Steph. You can have whatever you want, my darling.
So, anyway, now welcome. Well, I say welcome back. You've been on the show several times recently, haven't you? But Ella's come back to talk to us about LGBT because we had so much fun with the last one, didn't
we?
For those that missed it, give me a quick recap. What did we talk about last time? Do you remember?
Recap, we talked about Thornbjorn / Thorberga, who was a transgender Viking who was pretty badass. And we also talked about how Lancelot was super bisexual.
Yeah. Yeah, so who are we talking about today then?
Shakespeare.
Really?
Yes.
Because he wasn't gay, was he?
There is a good argument that he was bisexual.
Right.
Which I will unfold.
Do tell. Oh,
yeah, yes. I was going to say.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's not something that you hear in school, that's for sure. At least I didn't. You might do these days. I don't know. But.
Well, no. Still no. But I think it's an interesting thing because academically speaking, it's really, really not decided. It goes back and forth. There's about 50-50. There isn't a convincing argument that Shakespeare was only straight. In fact, there's a lot of evidence to say that he was interested in men as well, and that comes from both his plays, his sonnets, and his personal life.
Right.
All right.
I mean, given what we know about how fluid sexuality is actually these days, and the fact that boxing us into gay and straight really isn't actually true, it is highly possible that even if he was majoritively heterosexual most of the time, there's no reason why he might not have dabbled or even had a boyfriend. You never know. So
it is true. So I have to start off by asking you, have you ever heard of Christopher Marlowe?
Yes. No. So he was Shakespeare's, well, he's one of his rivals in the Cutthroat World. Because the thing about being a playwright back then was you didn't pay a lot. And
it's not where the place Marlowe gets its name from, is it?
I don't sort of connection think there? So. No, but is there a theory that he actually wrote some of Shakespeare?
There is, but I'm gonna ignore the author conspiracy theories.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just that I feel like that is a debate for another time, and we've got enough on our hands.
If Shakespeare would take that, then Christopher Marlowe would have been like E17.
Well, maybe, but actually, and so here's the fun part. Christopher Marlowe, Shakespeare did not, as Lucy Gray rightly says, get along very well with most of his contemporary playwrights.
Yeah.
People writing at the time, Shakespeare did not like. He thought a lot of them were stupid. The only person to whom he refers repeatedly and positively, and the only person who was alive whilst he was writing that he quotes, is Christopher Marlowe. Now, Christopher Marlowe has a kind of interesting career. Christopher Marlowe was a playwright and a spy who was assassinated by the Queen. He was assassinated.
Whoa, hang on. Stop right there.
Do you mean she ordered someone to assassinate?
I was about to say, did Queenie herself? I'm just thinking, I'm getting blackout of here.
Yes.
Really, actually, pretty interestingly. So, Marlowe was a spy, which we know, and he died in what was called a bar fight. And it wasn't until the mid 1950s, late 1950s, that a forensic scientist went through and found out that he had been deliberately murdered. It wasn't just an accidental stabbing. And the thing about Marlowe, the reason that he was killed was that he was on trial for crimes of sodomy and atheism. His flatmate Robert Baines claimed that he had heard Marlowe saying, "All those who love not boys and tobacco are fools."
Yes, and that is damning evidence at the time.
Apparently, yeah. Okay. Well, he also wrote an entire essay about how Christ was really just a person and not actually God. And in a time when there was a lot of debate about religion, that was not a good thing for the crown to be associated with.
Yeah.
So Marlowe was bumped off, but Shakespeare seems to actually have mourned him quite a lot. And Marlowe was also famously pretty much as openly gay as you could be in the 1600s. So that's part number one of our case for whether or not.
But it was frowned on and illegal to be gay at that time, was it?
Crimes of sodomy, you'd definitely be executed for.
Right.
Yeah, the 1600s were pretty brutal. Everyone was going a bit nuts about religion. You know, Henry VIII and all that.
Well, they did just like kill people for weird things as well, didn't
Being
they?
Being a Catholic,
then,
generally.
Yeah.
Not just that. lots of.
No, they were dodgy times. However, Shakespeare liked to dance the line. Now, if you guys are familiar with any of Shakespeare's plays, you might know that Shakespeare likes to play around a lot with gender and sexuality.
Yes, the boys, the girls dressing up as the boy to then fall in love and then be pursued herself. And,
yes.
What's that? Is that no?
I mean, that's
12 Nights, 12
every
Nights,
other
yeah.
Shakespearean
actually, yeah,
play, to be honest.
All of them, a bit like, cross-dressing.
As
yeah.
You Like It, yeah, 12 like Night, it, yeah. Merchant of Venice. There is a lot of...
That old chestnut.
Yeah.
Let's just dress up.
And he really liked to play with that. And in his plays, there's a lot of stuff about how seductive it is for people to play with ideas of their own gender and also with ideas of same-gender love.
So like his characters totally got into it as well. It was like they would cross-dress to do something and then find themselves getting a little bit too into it.
Right.
I'm
quite surprised.
Lucy, yeah. I didn't know you knew so much about Shakespeare.
Oh, well, you know, the results of a misspent youth.
So you don't quote to your missus then?
No, just fancying people who worked at the Bristol Vic Theatre School. Moving on.
No, so we've got in Hamlet has a pretty homoerotic relationship with Horatio, who calls him his sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. And Hamlet tells Horatio, he writes a letter to him saying that he that you know is yours. We've got Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, mostly famous because of Tom Stoppard's play. David Tennant's Richard II shared a passionate kiss with Lord Aumerle, played by Sam Marks, in the RSC's production. And Twelfth Night, which Lucy mentioned, and those are just my favourites.
But where Shakespeare got away with it in a time when homosexuality was really frowned on. He didn't get assassinated or...
Yes. He did.
Weird.
He got
because you just thought, you know,
he got away with it.
He got away with it
because he was super successful, super famous, and he always managed to go at the very end, lol, no homo, this was a joke. So it doesn't matter if Olivia wanted to marry Viola, and it doesn't matter if Antonio repeatedly says that he is in love with Sebastian, because Antonio conveniently disappears at the end, and Olivia happens to find Viola's identical twin brother, who's a little bit more heterosexually appropriate. But, and this is my final piece of evidence, Shakespeare's sonnets speak against him.
No, I'm going to ask you one thing, because not everyone will know exactly what a sonnet is.
That is fair
enough.
It's
a short poem, isn't it?
It is.
But it's
just
a particular way of writing it, I believe.
It is. So it's a short poem, and I believe it's of 12 lines. I should know that off the top of my head.
Sorry.
And it has
14 lines. 14. Yeah. And each line is 10 syllables long, an iambic pentameter, and it goes with a rhyme scheme of A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, E, F, E, F, G, G, and then etc. But we're going to have a live demonstration of that so you can hear the rhymes instead of me just telling you what the rhymes are.
That'd be well, but Satoshi's still here.
Yes, it is. So Shakespeare's sonnets are famously some of the most powerful love poetry ever written. Shakespeare wrote 154 sonnets, and of them 126 are written to a young man who we don't know, but some scholars would argue he seemed to be in love with.
Right.
Now, this young man is not known. His identity is not known. He was
Kit Marlowe.
Who knows? Fair Lord or Fair Youth. And it's believed to be the same bloke to whom the whole book is dedicated, Mr. W.H. So some people have suggested that that's Henry Wriothesley, 3rd Earl of Southampton, or William Herbert, 3rd Earl of Pembroke. Now, I have to say that there is an opposite side of the scholarly debate. Shakespeare's more sexual sonnets refer explicitly to a woman, and that's the smaller 20, and they're referring to his Dark Lady. And so some people say that this relationship was clearly just a really intense friendship. However, I think that some of the best evidence against that is that in 1640, John Benson published the sonnets but changed all of the pronouns from masculine to feminine. And it took 100 years for them to be published again in their original form, at which point everyone was shocked and lots of people either accused Shakespeare of sodomy or tried to defend him against it.
But then a lot of Shakespeare's work was redacted, wasn't it? Because the Victorian versions of it were, because it was all seen a bit too risque.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I didn't know his sonnets said that happened to his sonnets as well.
It did. And so what I think is really interesting about this is that the academic argument tends to say, we couldn't possibly know what people would have thought. We couldn't possibly know whether or not people would have thought this was gay, except that 30 years after Shakespeare died, someone thought it was so gay that he needed to completely change 120 sonnets. And I feel like that's a good case. I'm not saying it's conclusive. The guy is dead. We can't get him up and ask him. But
So he hadn't had them all published before then? They hadn't like been mass distributed before?
They were published against his will in 1609. Right. Then they were published again
against
by
his will. So yeah, these were private.
They were originally, well, we're not sure. They might have been patronised, so they might have been commissioned by someone.
Right, okay.
And we're not sure if they were intended to be for like public knowledge, but then they became public knowledge because Shakespeare was such a celebrity by that point. This is the end of his career. But then, yeah, 30 years after he died, they were published again, and that was kind of the known edition. So literary critics Stephen Greenblatt and Stanley Wells argue that the possibility of Shakespeare being gay or bisexual should not be dismissed, but at the same time, neither should his marriage to Anne Hathaway, with whom he had three children. So there is a balanced argument going on. What I want you guys to know, however, is that among the sonnets that Shakespeare addressed to his fair lord is Sonnet 18, in which he promises that his lover will be remembered through his poetry, and so, although his life might be as brief and fleeting as a summer day, in another way, he will never die. And maybe handing over to Matthew Dodge, have we got time for a sonnet?
Yeah.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But they, eternal summer, shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
Did you hear that, Rob?
I was thinking the same thing.
Rob Smashy's boyfriend, in case you're wondering.
I would like to say that more than 400 years after Shakespeare died, and whoever he was in love with died, we are still reading that poem. So
yeah,
it is
very kind.
Yeah. And it's lovely words. It's lovely
words.
Yeah.
It's very, yeah,
they are.
Very
and I think what's really, really important to say is that whilst we can't definitively say what Shakespeare's sexuality was, what we can say is that that poem just now and 125 others written by Shakespeare himself were written by a man for a man.
Yeah.
And they are love poems.
Hmm.
I think you can reach
So they're still totally split, divided, and it's just because there's no factual evidence.
Well, there's very little known about Shakespeare himself because he didn't really give us any diaries or letters that we can track, so we mostly have to extrapolate from, like, okay, he got married, but then he left his wife for 20 years and wrote a bunch of poems. and in his plays, he plays a lot with gender and sexuality, and some of the more recent portraits, like the one I put on Twitter, show that he seemed to be someone who's quite interested in presenting himself as a bit of a dandy, which was the side of society that liked to play with that kind of gender sexuality margin. So theories are constantly changing, but I would say that just as much as we can't prove Shakespeare was gay or bisexual, we can't prove he was straight.
True. Yes.
Okay. But then that just makes it so binary. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I
he
think that it's more
bisexual.
Like we should question why we're having the binary. Like we should question the binary. We should sit back and say, did I assume Shakespeare was straight? Did I assume that Romeo was straight? Did I assume that Juliet was? And
We have lost a lot of our history where it's been covered up over the years.
Especially
when we've gone through times in our history when everything's been very homophobic. That history has been rewritten in certain circumstances to cover it up.
They write
it?
History in their own image. Anybody who's marginal or who isn't part of the dominant part of society very, very rarely hears their own history.
Fascinating.
But possibly Shakespeare was on our side.
Maybe Shakespeare was gay.
I think we just found another one to put in Matthew's bow as well, haven't we? You could just like lay them down on like audio tapes or something, couldn't you?
Matthew reads the sonnets. I think we can make it a weekly, like a running thing. Yeah. Like
this week, Matthew reads.
Next week, Dirty Limericks, please.
Did you do Shakespeare?
I did GCSE literature, and so we studied Macbeth.
Oh god, yes, I hated it.
Nice and gruesome.
No, it's so gory.
I didn't. The problem, I couldn't get my head around the old English when I was at school, and I could read them, and they just made no sense to me. I mean, they do now I'm an adult.
Yeah.
But at school, I really, really struggled with it.
Well, I think they don't let you think about all of the dirty jokes, and I think the dirty jokes really help understand Shakespeare. I'm not even kidding. Toilet jokes and dirty jokes.
Yeah.
They help it move along.
It helps me understand most
but you see, when
you
got someone like Mr. Tosh reading it, it just kind of... I mean, he could just have said anything in that same voice. It sounded very sexy anyway, wouldn't it? You know?
I was not thinking of dirty jokes when Matthew was reading that. Definitely not. Anyway, thanks very much, Ella.
I don't know. Thank you, Ella. It was lovely. We must keep doing them because they are brilliant fun. It's lovely to find out something you don't know anything about as well, because I'd never have known that about Shakespeare.
I like it.
So, anyway, and that's it for this week. As we've been talking, well, we were supposed to talk about it, we kind of run out of time.
Sorry.
It is the closing of the Shout Out Listeners Awards on Tuesday.
So, for the last time to vote, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt/awards. Don't forget to put the 9th of February in your diary, too.
Yes, that's when our awards ceremony will be, and we'll be revealing the winners. It is totally free to attend. It's here at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol. But for now, though, from myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT Radio for you.